This word is prophetic, and it signifies the miraculous. Think about the plowman. Think about the farmer. Think about the person who's going out right now, even in these days, down in the Hatch Valley right now. What are they doing right now? They've already prepared the ground. They've been digging the ground out. All the plows have plowed. And what are they doing? They're getting ready to plant what? They have a special, you know that in down in Hatch, they have a special seed. I read this article about they have a special seed that they have developed many, many years ago. This guy developed a special seed, and they can't say it's a Hatch chili unless it comes from that seed. And I don't know about you, but I don't know if you've heard about this, but China tried to mimic green chili and try to put it on the shelf. And so it actually has to have like a, you know how meat has a USDA stamp on it? It has to have like a chili stamp on it. Because if it's going to be chili, green, New Mexico Hatch green chili, then it needs to be New Mexico Hatch green chili and not from China. Come on, somebody. Amen? And so they're preparing right now. They're seeding. They're seeding the chili so that in August and September and maybe at the end of September for all the late birds, they'll get the last couple of bags of chili. What will they do? They'll go down to the Chili Connection, go down to Smith's or wherever you go to get. Remember Joe Otero and Carmen, they used to have their chilies. That was the chili where they were the connection in the South Valley. Now you went down to Sleta and you could smell it. You could smell where Joe was at down at his shop, and he'd sell that green chili. It was so good. And we get that harvest. It smells good. It tastes good. But I'm eating green chili from last year's harvest. I had some day before yesterday with breakfast. It was the bomb. It was excellent. My son-in-law's moving here. I think he is moving here for the green chili. It was his idea. He told us, my daughter, he said, let's move to New Mexico. She goes, really? Oh, awesome. I think he had an ulterior motive. I think he just loves going to Duran's and having green and red chili as much as he wants, because there's no restaurants in L.A. like that. They have to cook it when they got it because they always have. So we're enjoying with the harvest from last year. But I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine a farmer that is sowing seeds right now. That farmer has to do some certain things we're going to talk about to get to August, to get to harvest time. There's a lot of process that goes there's a lot of work that gets into the process. And in order to get to that place, all these things must be done. We know that. We know that's the process. But this scripture talks about planting your seed, and as you're even trying to get the seed into the ground, the harvest is already coming. That, to my friend, is a picture. That is a model of supernatural harvest. So those of you that say, I really want to invite my boss to work, but I'm afraid to ask them because I'm not sure what they'll say. I really want to talk to my cousin about coming to, I heard that him and his wife are getting a divorce, and I want to talk to them about coming to church and getting their marriage turned around, but I'm embarrassed to talk to them. I want you to know something right now. You may be the only lifeline they have. You may be the only chance they have of turning that marriage around. And all it's going to take is say, hey, can I take you to lunch? And at lunch, say, hey, listen, I want to invite you to come to my church on Resurrection Sunday. That doesn't mean you're going to become a member of the church. That doesn't mean you're going to have to get tied down to anything. All I want you to do is come to Resurrection Sunday. And I want you to know, you let the Holy Spirit be the lasso that comes and lassos them together. You let God do the rest of the work. But if you don't invite them, if you don't speak to them, if you don't sow a seed in their heart, I want you to know something. They may never, ever stay married. They need somebody. They need an agent of hope. You're that agent of hope. That's what we've been called to do. Once you get saved and give your life to God, you become an agent of hope. You become that man, that woman, that can share just one word of encouragement that can change it all around. And so we're believing God for miracles. These seeds of faith that we're planting in people's hearts for each one, reach one, and these seeds, these financial seeds, we're going to plant on Resurrection Sunday. We're believing for miracles. We're believing by that one step of faith is going to change our future. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I love springtime. I love springtime. I can't, man, as soon as everything starts blooming, I can't get enough. You know what's crazy is that I post a lot on Instagram and stuff like that, and I posted my apricot trees, my grandfather's lineage, my grandparents' lineage of apricot trees. They're bloom, right? And I put, oh, nothing like new growth. I got so many looks and views and likes and everything on that because I think everybody feels the same way. I think people love new things, new starts. And I love it when everything's looking dead and before you know it, it comes to life. It's miraculous to see a dead tree within just a few weeks, leaves start coming out and flowers begin to bloom and roses, my rose bushes now, they look dead just 3 weeks ago. And now all of a sudden, they've got brand new leaves coming out of them. Pretty soon, the roses will start to bud and then they'll open up. And oh, I've been raising roses for a long time, for probably over 40 years. I've had rose bushes that I love to see. There's one right in front of my door. And I didn't plan this. I just planted a small rose bush, but it grew the biggest one. And it sets off a scent that I can't even explain. If you walk by it, you're, ooh, it smells so good. Right when you come to my front door. And the bloom, they smell so good. And so there's something to be said about things that grow. Come on, somebody. So there's something about watching the process of the planting of the seed. And there's the waiting for that seed to germinate and to pop out of the ground and then to grow and mature and into the harvest stage. And when I started talking about green chili a while ago, some of you started licking your chops right away. You know? In the past few weeks, you know, we've taken these resurrection seed cards, these faith promises. Some of you haven't done it yet. But I'm believing God with you that God's going to extend your faith. We're doing this. We sow seed for a reason. The farmers sow seed. Listen, anytime I sow, I've got four little bags of seeds that I'm going to be doing. I'm going to put some garlic, some cucumbers. I love fresh radishes. There's something about fresh radishes. I'm not sure if it's the dirt or what it is, but some with a little salt on them. You got to wash them, obviously, you know. Unless you like the dirt. But there's something about, and I'm going to plant these right, I don't got a big area where I can do it, so just a little area I'm going to plant and see what I get out of them. I know I'm going to get something out of them because I'm going to water them. I'm going to take care of them. And there's a couple of you that are going to help me water them because sometimes when I'm gone, I need you to help me water them. Amen? But I believe that when we give our best, see, you're not going to put a seed in the ground that's broken. You're going to put a seed in the ground that's your best seed. And let me tell you that what's amazing is that this seed I was talking about the Hatch Valley, they developed this seed and then they've kept it pure all these years. You're talking about almost 100 years of keeping the seed pure. You see, when you sow a pure seed, you're going to get a pure harvest. But an impure seed could mean that you give it out of reluctancy, or you sow it out of reluctancy, or you sow it because you have to. You know, there's some farmers' kids that are throwing out seed because they have to. But the farmer is saying, if you do it with purpose, there's going to be a legacy that's going to be for you later on when I'm long gone. This is going to be all yours. And if you're doing the reluctancy, you're not going to get the kind of harvest that you're looking for. According to Psalm 111, verse 5, God is ever mindful of his covenant. He's always got our increase, our growth in his mind. And that scriptures talks about in 111, it says that he's always thinking about the covenant that he's made with us. And the covenant God made with us is called the seed time and harvest, found in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. In the English Standard Version, it reads like this: while the earth remains seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. In other words, as long as the earth remains, the sun will always come up, it'll always go down, there'll always be a daytime, there'll always be a nighttime, there will always be heat, there'll always be cold, there'll always be seasons. Now what's amazing is that the other day I saw that Sister Alejandra posted something that said, you know, this morning at 8:30 it was winter time, and at 10 o'clock it was like springtime, by 1 o'clock, it was summer, and then and then fall, and by 4:30, it was back to winter. That's Albuquerque. Look at how beautiful it is today. But just a few days ago, we felt like we're going back into winter, because we have the seasons of life. We know that in October, all the leaves start falling off and everything looks dead. By December, everything looks dead in our city, except the evergreens. But then, something happens in February. It depends on how warm it is in March. And all of a sudden, things begin to grow and everything that we thought was dead begins to come to life. And that isn't that the way it is with our lives, too? Isn't it like that just with us? But sometimes, ma'am, things feel dead. Things feel like they're not happening. And all of a sudden, if you just have a little faith, if you just sow a little seed of faith, if you just trust God a little bit, if you just can stay constant and stay praying and still believing God, that all of a sudden something begins to grow, and all of a sudden there's an excitement inside your life that says, you know what, there's new beginnings happening, there's new stuff coming. It's coming. I don't know about you, but I feel breakthrough coming. I feel breakthrough for our city. I feel breakthrough for your life. Sister Barbara and I pray for you every day. We lift our congregation up to you, the homes, our leaders. We believe breakthrough is coming. My wife said Wednesday night that we are on the brink of a breakthrough. I don't know what kind of breakthrough you need, but I want you to know you got some people standing with you. It might be a healing for your body. It might be a miracle for your marriage. It might be a new job. It might be a situation that you have been unable to get a hold of, and God is saying, I'm about to give you your breakthrough. How many of you are ready for breakthrough? How many of you are ready to elevate? How many of you are ready to go to the next level? See, if you're going to get to next level blessing, then you need to be at next level types of habits. If you want the next level of increase in your life, if you want a next level type of harvest, then you need to sow some next level seeds. If you want next level marriage, then you need to sow a little bit into that marriage. Listen, no deposits, no withdrawals. There's life in the seed. And it's spring, it's time to sow. This is your time to sow. It's a season of sowing, and then your reaping is going to come. Some of you are going to reap sooner than others, and some of you will have to wait the process. Hello, somebody. I want you to talk about it to your sister. Talk about it to your brother. Talk about it to your spouse. Talk about it to each other about how every seed you've sown. Listen, you ought to be sharing that. You ought to be sharing what's happened in your life, that you've sowed seeds and you've seen the hand of God move in your life. I don't know about you, but I have sown seeds throughout my walk with Christ, and I have seen God do miraculous things. And I know there's some of you here this morning that even last year, you sowed a seed. You sowed a resurrection seed. Even just last year, just this past year, or maybe even a miracle seed. Some of you, a couple of years back, I remember hearing some of those testimonies. How many of you have sowed a seed and seen God come through for your life and bring a harvest? Let me see a show of hands. Look around you. Look at all the hands come. I'm sure there's a couple of testimonies. I know Mark shared with me, and he shared with the church some things. Mark, you share it. Mark, you got a mic right there? Give him a mic.
Right there. Right here.
All right.
All I can say is that God has been good to me. Because I remember when I first came back to the Lord, I was lost, hopeless, nothing but the clothes on my back. But in the last 5 years, I have seen the miracle working power of God demonstrated in my life. Because of my willingness to stretch out my faith and give in the resurrection seed offering. The first year when I was in the home and I gave a resurrection seed, God miraculously healed me from hepatitis C. I didn't have to go through any treatment. I didn't have to go to the hospital. God was able to heal me supernaturally. And then I started working out of the home. I was taking the bus. I was saving money to buy me a car. But God said, give the money that you saved as a resurrection seed offering. A couple of weeks later, somebody came by and gave me a car. So instead of me having to save money God worked miraculously. The following year, I gave another resurrection seed offering, and God was able to reconnect me with my father that I hadn't seen in over 20 years and restore a relationship that was broken because of prison, because of drugs, because of gangs. So I can't wait to see what God is going to do in my life now. You might ask and say, well, what are you saying, Brother Mark? Are you saying that you can buy a blessing? Are you saying that you can pay your way to a miracle? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when you're willing to stretch your faith, when you're willing to give above and beyond, God recognizes your faith. God sees your sacrifice, and God is able to meet you and do something supernatural in your life. You see, I don't know what else. I'm like waiting. I say, God, what else can you do? You've done everything that I could have wanted you to do. And this year, God gave me the desire of my heart. He allowed me to marry one of the most beautiful women that I know. And I know that in this year, God is going to do great things in our life.
My God. And you know what? I know there's many of you have testimonies. So Wednesday night, get ready. Next Sunday, get ready, because I want to hear a testimony. You heard right there, somebody stirred your faith, said, you know what, you're right. I got a miracle too. I want to hear, we want to hear them Wednesday night. We want to hear them Sunday morning. For the next 3 weeks, we want to hear your testimony about how God, what God did in your life. Can you do that? You get with one of the ministers here, after church today and say, put me on, put me in, coach. I want to testify. Amen. See, when a farmer plants seed, they don't just forget about it and go about their lives hoping that by chance something will grow. They've got to take care of that seed. Instead, there's an anticipation that happens in their life. I hope by now, right now, in this moment, that there's a sense of anticipation that's in your heart saying to yourself, oh, I know that something's about to break loose in my life, in my family, in my church, in my city. Something's about to break loose in this situation I've been in the sickness that you've had. And you know what? Something's about to break off of you. Something's about to move in your life like you've been dreaming and praying and hoping for. Come on, somebody. See, if you need a miracle, this is the season for miracles. That farmer doesn't look 2 days or a couple of weeks for the harvest. They realize that it may take some time. Even though there's a supernatural anointing on Amos 9 and 13, some of you are going to get a miracle immediately. Even today, you're going to walk out of here with a miracle. But there's some of you going to have to wait for a process for a little bit. Some of you are going to have to take some time and cultivate and weed that seed around a little bit. And you're going to have to water it a little more. And you're going to have to be consistent watering it every single day, every week, every month until harvest time comes. For those of you in the home, I want you to know something right now. It's going to take up to a whole year or maybe 16 months where you're going to get your life together and your parents are going to look at you in the face. Your son, your daughter who you let down is going to look at you, and for the first time, they're going to say, I'm proud of you, Dad. I'm proud of you, Mom. You see, that's the biggest miracle you could ever have, is having your children honor you. You see, but you gotta take the time for the process. See, farmers can't make the seed grow. They can't make the plant grow. Only God can do that. God causes the smallest, most insignificant little baby seed to grow into the biggest. Even a mustard. If you look at the mustard seed, is the smallest and it grows into the biggest tree. There's no limits on God. I don't know why you keep on limiting God. The other day, my granddaughter, we were there and I was sharing with my daughter about all the miracles we've been. Man, cancer, a lot of people with cancer have been getting healed. A lot of miracles this last year. And I was sharing with them, and McKenna just sitting there eating her breakfast. I think she was eating pancakes. Eating them, just chilling. And then after we were done talking, I go, you know what, I'm going to go rest, because me and John have been cleaning up my garage and stuff. My back's hurting, man. I'm going to go sit down. Then she looks at me and she goes, well, pray. And I looked and I said, I felt so rebuked by a little child. And we're talking about the miraculous. We've been praying and seeing these diseases healed. I mean, absolutely obliterated from a body. And I said, oh, my back. And she goes, well, why don't you just pray? You just said about all these people you're praying for. And I said, oh, my God. See, we limit God sometimes. We got to quit limiting God. With all the planting, we are surrounded by miracles. Because of this, we don't sometimes see the miracle happening because the seeds in the ground. You know, I remember when I first used to start growing things, I'd put them in the ground. I'd sit and want and look at them. The next day, I'd look again. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. But then one day, everybody say one day. Because the growth's always coming. All of a sudden, the ground cracks. And I even made the mistake a couple of times trying to move the ground away to grow faster. And that's what your problem is sometimes. You want to move things around. You want to get ahead of the game and start moving things around and make sure, because you want to get what you want to get right away. But you can't make it grow. It can only be God that grows it. See, even those who doubt can still marvel at the miracle that takes place. A lot of people doubt. Even this morning, there may be some doubt in your heart this morning. Say, well, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to get money out of me? No. Do you have a lot of money? I can preach a different message if that's what you want. I'm here to build your faith. I'm here to get your money. I'm here to build your faith. I want to see your loved ones saved. We want to see these cards. We want to see your name. We want to see their names. We want you to be able to say, Pastor, remember we filled out those cards? This is my brother Jonathan. He got saved at Easter. He's been coming to church for 6 months. He's ready to get involved. He wants to start helping and doing some things. And Jonathan, it's so good to meet you. Can you imagine? How can you put a price tag on that? You cannot. You see, the seed contains a force which is difficult to label or describe, man. It is something about the seed that has power in it. When that force is released, when that seed is planted, you let go of it, you drop it in the ground, and you begin to water it. There's that force begins to accomplish its purpose. The seed becomes a plant. The plant bears its fruit. Come on, somebody, when those tomato plants, when they first come, they're real small. But have you ever seen a big, giant tomato plant with all these big, red, juicy tomatoes in them? Oh, man. But you got to remember, if you plant tomatoes, and if you're a farmer, you know what I'm talking about. If you plant tomatoes, you know what's coming also. It's not just the beautiful, red, juicy tomatoes. There's also going to be the tomato bug. It's like a caterpillar, and they always come in to eat up your fruit, always trying to eat up your harvest. The enemy's always trying to, that's where doubt comes in. Doubt tries to eat your harvest. The enemy comes and tries to put doubt in your mind that God's not going to do what he said he's going to do. What happened last time? Remember, I felt let down and this and that. I want you to know something right now. That little green bug is going to go in there and it's going to try to eat it up, eat what you planted. But oh, that's why you got to go in there and you got to debug that. You know what I do? I'm good at this. When I got tomato plants, I'll go in there and I'll be able to look, and they are some conniving little bugs. There's those little things. They look exactly like the tree. They're like chameleons. They look just like, they fit in. They camouflage themselves to look just like one of the stems. But if you look close enough, if you're on top of it right now, you can get them and you can pick them off there. That's what you got to do with your seed also. That's why you have to cultivate and weed your garden. You got to be careful how you weed your garden, though. See, you can tell I've done this a little bit. Amen. I'm not just preaching to something I don't know. I know about it. See, this word in Amos tells us that God wants to bring something brand new to you, and he wants to bring it now. It'd be nice to say, okay, well, I can wait. I'm patient. Good. But what if God wants to bring to you right now a miracle for your marriage? What if he wants to bring to you right now that new job? What if he wants to bring to you right now that business you've dreamed about for years and years and years, and now it's time to sow? See, your seed needs to be watered and cultivated with prayer, with word. Listen, you have to water your seed with the word every single day. Just like you would water your plants, you have to water your seed with the word. And also you have to water it with faith. You got to look at it in faith no matter what things look like. It needs to be the right atmosphere, the sunshine, the proper temperature. Listen, I want you to know that with giving and sowing, you have to be consistent at it. It's just like anything else. You want to lose weight, they say drink this at night and you'll lose this many pounds. Really? Come on, somebody. We fall for stuff, man. Come on, somebody. You know what the best way is? Push-ups and push-aways. Push-ups and push-away. And from the table when it's time. That's always worked for me. I'm not going to say I'm always doing it right, but I do know this. If you push away from some things, you'll lose some weight. You got to weed it too. You got to fight the enemy. See, there's a process of planting seed and waiting for it to grow. And you can't just leave your seed alone. You don't just come and say, okay, I'm going to plant a resurrection seed. 6 weeks, 5 weeks before I filled out my card and I'm going to see what happens on that day. No. All these next 3 or 4 weeks, you need to water your seed. You need to cultivate your seed. In the morning when you wake up, you got to say, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, after you finish praying for everybody and everything, you got to say, and Lord, you know that seed I planted back there in March, early March? You know that little card I filled out on Easter? I'm bringing you this seed. And so this morning I'm sowing in prayer. I am sowing in prayer. In fact, you know what? I feel led by the Spirit of God. I'm going to get online and I'm going to put an extra little $10, $20 on that seed because I'm going to water it a little bit. I'm going to stand in faith a little bit. Why? Because what you're doing, you're just saying, I'm taking care of my seed. This is my seed that I'm planting. And when I plant it, it's going to be a pure seed, but it's also going to be a watered seed. Come on. Every seed we plant needs water to grow. If there's no water, the plant dies. You have to plant. Then you have to water. And then you get the results. It's a law of seed and harvest. I don't care if you believe in God or you don't believe in God. I mean, I do care, but I mean, I'm making a statement here about the fact of like whether... If God says he's going to water it, he's going to grow it, that's what he says. See, when he said in Genesis, as long as the earth remains, if you plant a seed, it'll always grow. Period. So if he says that, whether you believe or you don't believe, it's going to happen because it's called the law of seed and harvest. Now, there's some principles to be kept in mind. Listen real quickly, and I'm getting ready to land this. If you're going to get a crop in the fall, a harvest in the fall, what is the first thing you're going to have to do in spring? Plant it. Because there is no harvest with no seed. Second principle is you have to know why you're sowing, what you're sowing. You don't just throw a big old handful of seeds and say, let's see what happens here. You're focused. If you want corn, you plant corn. You're not expecting wheat, right? You're expecting corn. And if you're planting wheat, you don't expect corn. So first, there has to be a purpose for your sowing. Thirdly, third principle is, why am I doing this? It has to be a self-possessed type of statement, like, I'm seeding from this purpose. From the purpose of my heart, I'm seeding for this area. Then you lay out what you want to see. Say, I want this whole field, I want to have green chili. This whole field right here, I want to have corn. This whole field right here, I want the most sweetest melones you've ever eaten in your life. And I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to make sure that they're watered. Said, when it comes time to harvest, I'll be eating those melones and people will love them. When I let somebody taste them and say, oh, that's a sweet melon. Come on, somebody. Fourth principle is when you seed, you need to do it with real faith in your heart. You can't do it with manufactured faith. You can't do it on my faith. Listen, I can believe with you. We can believe with you. But you have to declare your own faith. You have to stand in faith. We'll stand with you. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. But you've got to shout it out every day. I'm believing my husband to get saved. I'm believing my wife to come to the knowledge of Christ. I'm believing that runaway child that I have that's out there. I don't even know where they're at. I worry about them day and night that one day somebody's going to walk up to them and let them know and say, Jesus loves you. And they're going to be like the prodigal son and daughter. And they're going to run home and say, oh, messed up, but I need help now. We're going to believe that, but you've got to wake up every morning and quit saying, I've given up on them already. They're too much already. You heard a testimony about a mama who didn't give up on her daughter. 16 months ago, she was strung out. You heard what she was doing. But here, she's a brand new creation. Why? Because it was a mama that sowed seeds of tears and prayer and finances. And then fifth, last thing, is a principle is you have to claim what your seed is for. You have to claim it in God's time and His love and His purpose and not in your own. There's got to be a sower to sow. I'm going to ask you to come to the keyboard. Not only must there be a sower, you've got to have water. There's got to be water. What does water bring? Water's life, man. There's life in the water. And there's something that's said about water, biblically said, scripturally said about the water. If you look at that, there's always, God uses water as an analogy constantly. See, He indicates there that no matter what's going on, that God will take care of your seed. But you've got to sow it. You've got to water it. And then the place that you sow it has to be fertile. One of the things I know for a fact is that when I moved out to the west side and I said, I want to do a garden, I looked out that sand out there. And I looked at Barb, I said, man, this thing is good for nothing, man. There's nothing out here going to grow out here. And she goes, really? And I go, yeah, but you know what? I got an idea. You know what I did? Is I went out and bought some of the good, real good fertilizer. And I mixed it in. I tilled it. And I made this field. And I had a garden. It was probably, I'm going to say from where I'm at back to the sound booth, probably about out to the chairs are here, This big old field, and everything I put in that garden, every row produced. I had watermelons, the best jalapenos and yellow hots you've ever eaten in your life. But I took care of that garden. I weeded it. I watered it. That was my first big garden that I'd ever had. I mean, I'd planted small ones. But oh, to see the process. See, that ground didn't look fertile. But I had to do a little adjustments to that ground. And see, the ground here at Victory Outreach is fertile because there's been a whole bunch of people that came before you that plowed the ground. They've already plowed the ground, so the ground has already produced much harvest already. So now all it's waiting for is your seed. This ground is already produced harvests. Because long ago, in 1985, my parents, there's so many that came along with them. So many of them. They came along, and it didn't look like there was any ground worth any planting. But they got their rotor tillers out. They got the best fertilizer out. They began to till the ground. They started tilling it in Barelas. They started tilling it in the South Valley. They thought, oh, that's the only place we can till it. Begin to expand out a little bit more. When I came along, I said to myself, we're going to start tilling in the Heights. We're going to start tilling in the North Valley. We're going to start tilling in other cities. And the ground is fertile ground to sow, because you have to plant where it's going to grow. See, the Word of God is a seed. So when we plant that, I'm hoping that in Panama, for this whole week when I'm there, that I look into people's eyes and I just say the words, Cristo te ama, hermano. Cristo es la respuesta. And I'm able to talk to people and share the gospel with them, that seed of the word is going to go in their heart and that it's going to grow in salvation and deliverance. And then my hope is that when I go back to Panama a year from now or 2 years from now, someone will come up to me in the church there. The church is booming. And they'll come up to me and say, remember me? I was that guy you prayed for on the street corner over there. I've been in the church for 2 years. Just to see the fruit. just to see the fruit of the seed planted. See, God's word never returns void. It cannot fail. And he made it so that the seed of something doesn't fail if the process is done right. The Bible says in Galatians that he supplies the Spirit to us that works miracles amongst us. That word supplies is the word epikoregio, which literally means supply in abundance and provision. He has provided in us. He has provided for us a seed that we can sow for our biggest need, for our miracles. Why am I speaking about this? I'm speaking about this because I'm trying to build your faith, because I'm believing for a harvest this year. We've got so much going on this year. Listen, we got the Sandman coming. We have the UTC coming. We've got some amazing events, some park rallies. We got a car show. We have a bunch of things going on all summer. And listen, we don't want to just do them. We want to sow the seed in our city with a purpose. We want to see people get saved. We want to see families, whole families, come to the Lord. It takes faith. The process. Trust it. Amen? You see, if you plant honesty, you're going to reap trust. If you plant goodness, you're going to reap friends. If you plant humility, you're going to reap greatness. If you plant perseverance, you're going to reap contentment. If you plant consideration, you're going to reap perspective when you need it. If you plant hard work, you're going to reap success. If you plant forgiveness, you're going to reap reconciliation. So be careful what you plant in this season now, because it will determine what you're going to reap later. Isaiah 30:23 says, in the New Living Translation, then the Lord will bless you with rain at planting time. There will be wonderful harvest and plenty of pasture land for your cattle. You see, it's the soil that determines the outcome of the seed. All you have to do is elevate your faith and sow that seed in the planting season and watch what God does. And I want to close with this. You know, years ago, God gave me he gave me the understanding of something, a revelation. He said this. He said, Danny, you don't mind sowing seeds when there's an atmosphere of sowing. Like now, we're creating an atmosphere of sowing. Things are starting to come up. It's sowing time. He goes, but where you have a hard time sowing is during difficult times. And this is what I'm talking about, way, way back. God had to deal with me in that area. And then he gave me the revelation that sometimes we only want to sow when we feel like we're able to sow. And see, when we're down in the valley, it don't feel good. But when you're on the mountaintop, whoo, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Rocky, man. You feel like a champion, right, when you're on top of the mountain. But when you're down in the valley, it's dark, it's dirty, it's smelly. It stinks down in the valley sometimes. Why? Because everything runs downhill. Hello, somebody. All the junk goes down to the bottom. It's all settled down in the valley, all messed up. But let me tell you something a little bit about the valley. The valley has been my best friend many, many times. It's been the valley where I have sowed my greatest seeds. It's been in the valley, where the valley of despair, the place where I didn't feel like it was going to go on anymore, the place where I felt like everything was falling apart, I felt like giving up or quitting. It's been in those places where God challenged me to sow my biggest seeds, in that place, not at the mountaintop. And he said, the reason why is because when you're on the mountaintop, it's a time to celebrate. It's a time to say, victory, victory, victory. It's a time to be able to say, oh man, look at what God has done. That's what mountaintop experiences are for. But you don't stay on the mountaintop forever. You know that already. There's some times where you got to make your way back down the mountain. And about halfway down, you realize you're headed back down into the valley. Because the valley is where the reality of things are at. The valley is where sickness is at. The valley is where problems are at. The valley is the place where the enemy is working and messing up people. And you got to get down into that valley so you can be an atmosphere of faith. And in that valley where it's the worst place is the best place to sow your seed. So what I say to you is that whatever you do, don't wait till you get to the top of the mountain to sow your seed. Sow your seed in your trouble. Sow your seed in the dark when you don't, when it hurts you to sow your seed. When you say, but I can't, that's when you let it go and you place it in the hands of God in a fertile ground, because I want you to know what looks real bad out there, what looks horrible down in that valley. Let me tell you something right now. Woo! You can change everything with it. You can change the whole atmosphere by saying, yeah, it might be all dark down there and smelly down there and messed up, but oh, I'm going to go ahead and use all that junk as fertilizer to grow my life. And what was meant to try to kill me, what was meant to try to take me out, is actually going to grow me. It's actually going to be the very thing that takes me to the mountaintop next time. Somebody better shout and say, I'm ready for breakthrough. I'm ready for my miracle. I'm ready to see the next in my life. I want to elevate this year. I'm tired of going backwards. I'm tired of staying down in the valley. I don't mind going and sowing in the valley, but there's got to be some mountaintop experiences. There's got to be some victory for my life. If that's you, I want you to shout, I want victory. Amos 9 says that time's coming, says the Lord, when the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Whew. God's got a prophetic word for you today. That's what His word's for. It's for you. You didn't just show up. Those of you that came for the first time, you didn't show up just by mishap. God brought you here. You see, God gave His best on that cross. When Jesus walked up the road, the cobblestone road, the Villa de la Rosa, and He made His way all the place to Calvary, and they nailed Him to that cross, and they put Him on that cross. He gave His best. God gave His best. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, His best seed He sowed. So why is it we have a hard time sowing our best seed? And God has placed His best seed for us. This is your year to elevate. God gave us the word elevation. Elevate. It's your time to elevate. It's our time to elevate. It's your time to get to the next level. If you want to get to the next level, you need to sow some next level seeds this year. This whole year too, not just now. So what's your biggest need? What's the biggest miracle you need? You need to take that in hand. You need to think about it. And you need to sow to match that biggest need. As you prepare to sow that resurrection seed on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, Easter Sunday morning. Now, some of you have already been paying your seed offerings. They told me, hey, Pastor, people are already paying theirs. I go, really? Ooh, they want that Amos 9. That's fine. But on Easter Sunday morning, me and my wife are bringing our seed offering. And we got some things to believe for. We're believing for some big needs. See, this morning, this is what I want to do. I'm going to call an altar call. I sense that God wants to elevate people's faith this morning to a whole new level. I'm not sure in what area, but I do know this, that if you'll tap in to what I'm talking about, this is the kind of spirit that's going to come on your life. Everything you touch, every seed you sow is going to have rapid, miraculous anointing on it. Everything you do at your work, your boss is going to say, what is going on with you? Everything you do is amazing. Everything you do in your family is going to start running to you and say, I want what you got. Man, I need that peace. How do you have all this peace? Listen, I'm believing for the supernatural with you. I'm believing for it. I want to challenge you. For those of you who are already, you've already prepared your seed, you've already written down your card, start watering your seed this next few weeks. If you haven't yet got a resurrection seed card, you should get one this morning. You should fill it out. You should write your biggest need on there, and you should write your seed on there, and you should give it to us and say, agree with me for my seed. And then lastly, I want to make an altar call for those this morning that say, you know what, Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't know the Lord. I don't know God, man. I want to know him. I've tried to know him. I'm fighting with it, man. I'm wrestling with my faith. But I want out. I want out of the stinking world already. I want in. I want in with God. What does it take? Listen, all it takes is a simple declaration that says, Lord, you are Lord of my life, and you're the forgiver of my sins. And if you can do that, God will say, come in, let me make you brand new, because this is a new time. Every head bowed, every eye closed with you. Nobody looking around, just keep your eyes closed for a minute. You're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm that one you talked about. I'm that one that's saying in my heart, I need a breakthrough. I need a miracle. The first miracle that starts with is for those of you that are not saved, you've never given your life to Jesus. Or maybe you used to walk with God, you used to talk with God. Every morning you walked with him and talked with him. Somehow, somewhere you had a little breakup. There was a little bit of a breakup, and you haven't talked and walked with him in a while. And you say, I want to so bad, but I feel like I can't. Well, I want you to know I got news for you, that there's no wall that he won't break down to come and find you. There is no shadow that's too dark where he can't come in there and shine his light and find you. And that's what he's done today. He's broke the shadow away. He's broke all the darkness away. And he's come and he says, let me love you. Let me shine my light on your life. Let me bless you. Let me turn it all around for you. If that's you this morning, you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need Jesus in my life for the very first time. I've never really done this. Or possibly you're here today and say, Pastor, I used to walk with God, and I've been hiding from God because I messed up. But it's okay. God loves you, man. If that's you today, just lifting up your hand right there. Just lift it. God sees your hand. Bless you, bless you, bless you. God bless you. God bless you right there. God sees your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Quickly. Just lift that hand. God bless you. I see in the back there as well. I see your hand right there. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. Every head is bowed, every eye closed. Those of you who lifted your hands, if you lift your hands, just stand to your feet right now. Just stand quickly. Don't hesitate. If you lift your hands, just stand to your feet. Just stand quickly. For anybody else, we're good. Come on, if I saw some more hands, I lifted up. Just lift it. If you lifted that hand, I want you to stand up your feet. Then I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. I'm going to ask you, as this music plays, I'm going to ask you to step out of that seat right there. And I'm going to ask you to come and meet me right here in the front. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not trying to embarrass you. Jesus always called people publicly. If Billy Graham can do it, then Danny can do it too. I'm going to ask you to come from all those people. Stand right here with me. Right here on this side. Right here. Everybody together. Come on, church. Give them a hand as they come. Come on, anybody else. Come on. Oh. This is what I'm going to do. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I need my faith to go to another level. I want to elevate my faith because I'm believing for big things. I want to sow some big seeds in 2019. Then I'm going to ask you, from wherever you're at, to come and find a place at this altar, and I'll pray with you. I'll stand with you. We will believe God for your miracle. We will believe God to stand with you, that God's going to do something miraculous and supernatural in your life. Come on, from all over this place, elevate your faith this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, bread of heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus. One more time. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those of you that are here, that came up earlier, the first group of people that came up, this is what I want to do. I want everybody to stop praying for a minute. I want them to be able to pray. Let's pray together. I want you to repeat this after me. This is what's happening right here. If you say, Pastor, I'm going to come back to God, or for the very first time, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I want you to repeat after me this prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today, a sinner in need of forgiveness, in need of salvation, and I give you my life. I call you Lord. I declare that you are Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that you died for my sins, that you rose from the dead, and that you're coming back again. I believe today that I'm saved, forgiven, born again, and I'll never be the same again. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. If you said that prayer, then whether you used to walk with God or for the very first time you've done this, today's big beginning of something great. This is the brand new start. There's a process, just like the seed process. There's a process now. What do you do next? And these leaders that are around you are going to help you fill out a card and talk with you. And let's make sure we have cards, Gary. Make sure we have these cards here. Fill out a card with everybody. Make sure that you get your information so we can touch base with you. And we want to let you know what's next, okay? Everybody else, lift those hands and say, I need next level faith, Pastor. I need next level faith. I need to believe. I need to stand. I need to sow. I need to water. I need to believe with God.